oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show, the only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGALAS. Gosh darn it. SLASLAACRRRM.
You're doing that on purpose now.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
MM DRA PAHA FNA. We don't speak for any of those guys.
Or any of the Anons.
None of them, neither. We only speak for ourselves and not even that well.
I see Mr. Grammar has deserted you.
Mr. Grammler?
I said grammar.
What did I say?
None of them neither.
Yeah, none of them there neither.
Neither.
You used to could do that.
That's right. Instead we speak for all y'all.
All y'all is perfectly proper.
Yeah,
down south.
Yeah.
In Alabama.
Yeah.
That's where our friends in Alabama are. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B, as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Sweet. Awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah, sweet.
Here we go again.
Bruce on the fast track to Arkansas.
Somebody let the hogs out.
Who let the hogs out?
I can't remember the town. I was trying to think of the town that all my dad's relatives are from in Alabama. Can't remember the name of it. It's a little tiny town, though.
Wasn't it something like Jessup or
the town tree a totem pole?
Well, you know what? See, I was wondering that because when you think about it, like, I mean, it's a really – Haleyville. Now, I don't know how big Haleyville is, but I'll bet, you know, years ago what could it be?
It's next to Hooterville?
You know, like – yeah. Sweet. Like those dirty girls from Mount Pilot.
Oh, geez. They never said they were dirty girls. I think they said once on the show they were fast.
The fast girls.
The fast girls from Mount Pilot.
From Mount Pilot.
And for those of you who are younger than we are, that's from Andy Griffith. The Andy Griffith Show.
You know what's the
Google
greatest?
Google it.
The two greatest guys on Andy Griffith, one of them, the drunk guy.
Otis.
They give him the key so he could let himself out in the morning.
Yeah.
And the other one, let me tell you.
Floyd the Barber.
Oh, yeah. Sketching. Floyd. Floyd was like a meth head for sure.
Floyd was dealing out of the barbershop.
Oh, yeah. If you guys ever want to really laugh at something, look up Floyd the Barber on YouTube or something. I'm sure they got clips of him, and it's just and there was actually
shows on.
Well, there was actually something wrong with him, and I can't remember what it was, but he had that. He just seemed like a meth head. Well.
Yes.
What's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze?
I'm not ready. I don't have my glasses on.
They're right in front of you.
Oh, well. Well, don't worry. The entire world will wait for you.
They're going to have to because I didn't have my glasses on. Too bad for them. In Atlantic City, New Jersey.
You been there, Mark?
Yes, I skipped the shout out. Sorry. Shout out to everybody in the whole wide world. You're all gorgeous and I love you. There you go.
Wow. You ever been there, Mark?
Have not been to Atlantic City.
Atlantic City? No?
No.
I haven't either.
At the Trump Taj Mahal.
We should do a show from there.
And you should do it at the Trump Taj Mahal because you know what?
What?
If you go there and you play certain slot machines.
Slots.
Yes.
Hey, will you check that water bottle she's got and make sure it's not vodka?
No, it's Diet Dr. Chill. You can be entered in a contest to win $25,000 worth of plastic surgery. Because somehow gambling at the slots goes hand in hand with plastic surgery. I'm not sure how that works, but that's what they're doing.
You know that chick that kind of looks like a cat? She's probably over there gambling like crazy.
Yeah, there. What she
do
is
see her. She's had plastic surgery to make herself look like a cat. It is really horrific.
Not as horrific as all the women who've tried to make themselves look like Barbie dolls.
That's true. You just run your player's card into the slot machine, and you're automatically entered. The more times you run your player's card, the more entries you get.
Yeah, my luck, I'd probably win it, and then I'd be like, eh, I don't really want it.
I don't even know how to pronounce this. OCOE? OCOE? Whatever. It's in?
Florida!
Yes. The estranged daughter of Billy Bob Thornton.
Needs plastic surgery.
Really?
Yes, yeah. She does. I've seen pictures.
She's on her way to Atlantic City.
She's a beautiful woman, but she could use a little fixing up.
Wow.
That's
Shelley's way of saying she's tore up from the floor up.
You can always find something beautiful about anybody. But
the
however,
fact that they're walking away.
However, Amanda Brumfeld, that's her name. She's daughter of Billy Bob Thornton. She's estranged from him. She was just convicted of aggravated manslaughter of a child.
Ooh. Ow.
She killed the 1-year-old daughter of her friend, Heather Murphy. She was supposed to be watching her, and she claims that the child fell out of the crib on her head, and the police claim that all of the signs of beating and cranial damage sort of belie her story. And the jury agreed with them.
So then how did she get manslaughter?
Kid bounced.
I don't know. She should have gotten murder. But
yeah, because cranial beating doesn't sound like manslaughter.
Yeah, I don't know. She should have gotten murder, but she didn't. Let's
she's
see.
The daughter of Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, did Billy Bob say anything?
No, in fact, no. He's distanced himself from her even more. They were estranged to begin with. I skipped a page.
That's a weird
oh, no, I didn't.
Word anyway, estranged.
Let's see what we have here. Oh, my goodness. I love this one.
Wow.
A treasure trove.
Now, I'm not exactly sure where the... Farmington, wherever that is. Everybody
I'm
Farmington?
I'm guessing somewhere in the
Midwest.
Yeah,
Midwest. A naked 71-year-old woman and her equally naked 54-year-old companion were arrested for indecent exposure after a cop... Oh, it's in Michigan. Sorry, Michigan. Yeah. After a cop found them having sex in the backseat of his Buick Regal in the parking lot in front of a restaurant.
Better than in front of a rest home. That's where I thought you were going.
Hey, you know what I think?
I think
that she's the hero of the week. How old is she? 71?
71.
And she's still getting it in a car.
Well, they met in a bar.
Go figure.
They both had twice the legal limit. Fortunately, they weren't driving. They just made it to the car and took off their clothes.
What is the legal limit for sex?
No, legal limit for driving.
They weren't driving. Well, he was driving. Well,
Hey, honey, bend over, I'll drive.
She was shifting.
And God love him. He said when the police officer opened the car door and said, "What are you doing?" Which should have been obvious. I'm wondering where this cop went to school. He looked at the cop and said, "And please excuse my grammar. Maybe I should not say the actual word." He said, "I'm effing this chick." He called a 70-year-old woman a chick.
I'm effing this chick.
God love him. You should have seen the mugshots were priceless, too. You should go and look at the story, because his mugshot, he looks kind of pissed, but her mugshot, she's got a grin from ear to ear.
Cigarette burning. I mean, she's having a smoke.
You know what? If you ever wonder about how someone could go for like a 71-year-old, I would encourage you
to look up
Mamie Van Doren, who was... hanging out with Bob Hope in the 50s, she's like 75 and looks like a million bucks.
Yeah, she does.
You would
plastic surgery.
Most guys would jump her bones. And you'd look at her and you'd go, no way is she 75. I mean, you'd assume it'd be hard-pushed to say she looks 50. Maybe 50.
In Somerville, which I really don't know where that is because it doesn't say.
It's right near Winter Haven.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Police went to a place called the Little Sisters of the Poor, which is a Catholic home for the elderly, a charity home for the elderly.
Were there people banging in a car out in front?
No, an intoxicated man went inside
looking
and was
for someone to bang.
Running up and down the halls, harassing and being belligerent toward the residents. He appeared to be very intoxicated. The police came to arrest him. He was lying on the floor on his stomach and shouting profanities. When the police officers asked him to lower his voice and stop using bad language, he got up and punched one of the officers in the chest.
I'll bet he ended up on the floor again.
What I don't get is, you know, I grew up with a bunch of Catholics, and I've met quite a few nuns, and I'm wondering what would possess him to try this in a place where there are a bunch of nuns, because nuns are not known for being meek. All of the nuns I've ever known have been pretty badass.
They all carry ruler sidearms.
They can.
In the great words of Flip Wilson, the devil made him do it.
Yeah.
I loved Flip Wilson when I was a kid. Oh, my gosh. I love that show. I even had the doll that on one side was Geraldine and on the other side was Flip Wilson and had two strings for you to pull to make them talk. And, oh, I just love it. I loved when Geraldine would say, the devil made me buy this dress. I love that.
The devil made me do it.
He was hilarious. Let's see. I'm looking for another. This one made me chuckle. This was in Eggleston Township.
Now, this has got to be...
Let go my eagle.
You know, it's kind of like we went to visit Shelley's relatives. They lived in Montgomery Township, so I'm betting it's in, like,
yeah,
Ohio
You know, I should be looking this stuff up. I didn't. In Muskegon County, so I think it's, like, Michigan or Wisconsin
Milwaukee
or somewhere around there. Yeah. Jeremy Allen Baldwin pleaded guilty to public intoxication and breaking and entering with intent, which is a felony. And his intention was to steal lemon chiffon ice cream. He broke into Joni's Cones.
Did anyone tell him that they actually sell them there and it's probably not that much?
He broke into Joni's Cones and stole a 3-gallon tub of lemon chiffon ice cream. The police found him. You know, the alarm went
passed
off.
Passed out. With
the alarm went off, and when they responded to the call, they tracked him with the lemon chiffon ice cream drips that he trailed as he stumbled off because he was completely hammered. And when the police caught up with him, he said, I think I have a drinking problem. I might be in a blackout.
Oh, that's a good one. I might be in a blackout.
Follow that up with? I don't remember saying that.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't even remember being there. What are you talking about?
But who the heck drinks a case of beer and then wants lemon chiffon ice cream?
Is he pregnant?
Lemon chiffon? Ew.
Apparently that guy.
Lemon does not go with beer.
Well, oh, it was beer?
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe he was drinking Lynchburg Coolers or something, the lemonade stuff.
No, it would definitely have to be like, with beer, it would have to be something really sweet like strawberry.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big beer fan myself.
But lemon chiffon? Eh. Okay. Stupid study of the week.
Was there funding?
There was funding. Columbia University, there was public funding. The School of Public Health has said that their meta-analysis provides compelling evidence for an association between marijuana use and car crash risk.
It's lower, isn't it?
Well, that would be...
No, it's higher.
Well, see, that would be different because we had a story
a
few months ago where they said that that it might actually make your driving better.
That's true because they're going slower.
Well, at least it makes you think your driving's better.
Yeah. Because you think everyone might be a cop, so you're driving... The problem is you're driving 10 miles an hour down a 45-mile-an-hour street.
Trying to look inconspicuous.
Yeah. Apparently, their research shows the opposite. The problem is going to be with the whole medical marijuana thing. One of the things that they're looking at in this epidemiological review is that, you know, you can test for alcohol, you know, right there on the street. You know, I'm sure they can develop an instant test for THC. But the problem is, what if you smoked it a month ago and you had a medical marijuana card at the time for some back injury?
It's easy.
You know,
It's easy.
And why is it easy?
You just set Hostess Twinkies on the hood of the car. If they go for them immediately,
yeah, they're loaded.
They're loaded.
By the way,
it'd be Cheetos.
You know, I have a question though about those studies.
What?
They did a study about how marijuana affects exactly what?
The ability to drive.
Let's see. So, given the ongoing blah blah blah. It doesn't say what it affects. It just says that they found evidence that crash risk increases with the concentration of marijuana-produced compounds in the urine and the frequency of self-reported marijuana use.
Now, this was obviously a study done on things that had happened in the past.
Yes.
Because if you got somebody loaded and had them drive to see what happens, and something really bad happened,
liability. Yeah.
Don't you think you better have a lot of money for this study to pay the insurance claims?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I got to throw this in, too. I don't think you have this, but on October 7th, the Los Angeles Coroner's Office determined that Janie Lane, you remember Janie Lane, the lead singer from Warrant?
Yep.
He died of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, it's sad.
It's really sad. I actually met him once, and he was a nice guy. A little pissed off about his past, but he was a nice guy.
Cherry pie.
Yeah, he
hates that song.
Yeah, can't stand it. And he can't stand it.
He doesn't care anymore.
That's true.
No, he doesn't.
In London, I thought this was kind of humorous. A great-grandmother from London will be banned from driving for 1 year after leading officers on what has been is being called the world's slowest police chase.
Slower than OJ?
Yes, so.
He was using his walker.
during the chase, she was going about 16 kilometers per hour.
That's slow.
That's pretty slow.
I can ride my bike faster than that for sure.
The chase went for 44 kilometers before she finally stopped. And she only stopped. Her husband had just died 5 weeks ago, so she was a little bit distracted, she said. She didn't notice all the cops following her.
For 3 hours?
Apparently. She only noticed when a police officer started running beside the car and knocked on the window.
That's really funny.
Wow.
That was like the guy. That was like that guy in the snowbank that time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
I would love that. Would be the most awesome like YouTube video, like cop, like someone else filming it.
She said, and I'm quoting her: "It was a surprise to me when he knocked on the window."
Yeah, especially when she thinks she's driving fast.
Yeah.
She admitted driving without due care and attention and failing to stop for the police.
What was the original reason she was getting pulled over?
You know, it doesn't say, actually. Oh, no, it does.
Too slow.
It does. Sorry, I missed that paragraph. She went the wrong way on a roundabout and then pulled into the right lane afterwards.
That's not okay if there's no cars?
She didn't crash into anybody or anything.
Uh-oh. Mama, come down.
You know, they don't have normal intersections in England. They have roundabouts.
24 before my loving, I'll be there. Boom, boom, boom. Ooh, here's some boozy news.
What?
We had a surprise party for Shelley's birthday.
Yeah, we did at El Torito Mexican restaurant.
El Torito Mexican bar.
I was sorry I missed it.
And restaurant.
Her
sponsor sang and just knocked it out.
Here's something that falls under the category of what do they think is going to happen? In Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady.
The police department has decided that they are going to improve their service to the public by conducting surveys of the people that they arrest to see where they could improve.
Don't arrest me.
I know. What do you think they're going to get on these surveys? They're going to get a bunch of ticked off people saying, you know, up yours. I mean.
And it's New York.
Yeah, I think that's
they're
kind of a waste
be kind
of time.
They're not
going
to be kind about it either.
They're a lot more understanding there.
Yeah, clearly.
Really quick, I got to get this one in because it's like, if I were a golfer, this would be like my worst nightmare. This is like the hazard from hell.
Mark, here you go. Mark is
the
golfer.
The hazard from hell. Six bull sharks got into...
You don't hear that a lot with a golf story, do you?
This is in Brisbane, Australia.
Okay. Still.
At the Carbrook Golf Club. Six bull sharks are now living in the lake... Have the water hazard because they got into it when the golf course flooded and ocean water came, you know, over into the golf course and it flooded the golf course and they ended up stranded in the water hazard. They've been living there. They're now breeding. There originally were just, I think, two or three, et cetera, because I only did the first part of the story.
How much salt water could be in there?
Well, if it's right next to the ocean, quite a bit could be coming in. And that's enough to keep them alive. I saw the picture on the thing of all the little fins in the water. And
you got fins to the left,
fins to the right.
So hit down the middle.
Hey, go get your ball.
No, the local kids have since given up retrieving lost balls from the water for extra pocket money.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yes, because bull sharks are man eaters.
Perfect.
And they are breeding. There was a little baby bull shark out there.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yes.
How's the fishing in that water trap?
It doesn't say. But the funny thing is on the picture
of the...
Not
too good, because all the fish are gone. There are bull sharks.
Yeah,
no,
but
the
sharks
saying,
eating.
You know what?
Yeah, that's true.
Just take a big hunk of bloody something and you'll catch a bull shark.
Well, the it's funny, the picture of the water hazard from the golf course on the internet, it was a shot of the little lake, and they've erected a sign, a yellow sign with a no swimming logo and a picture of a shark underneath the swimmer.
Have you seen the photos from the guy who was playing golf in Florida?
No.
And went to go into one of the lakes to try to retrieve his ball because it was just about a foot inside.
Oh, the alligator or
something? The next shot is him laying on the ground with no arm. And the last shot is they caught the alligator, killed it, and gutted it and pulled the arm out.
Were they able to reattach it?
I don't know.
Oh.
I got to imagine it wasn't a clean cut.
No. But,
Did you ever see, there is a photo on the internet, and some gal won a golf trophy, and she's holding it and looking at it. I'll show this to you later. And it's a glass thing, and it's this long kind of semi-curved thing with the ball on the top. Wow, it looks like a sex toy. I mean, and she's like kissing it. I mean, it's
perfect.
Yeah, you got to go look it up. Yeah.
And that, my friends, is the end of another rousing rendition of the Boozy News. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
Sweet.
I love that.
You know what? It's good. It's pro quality. Sober College. Check them out online. SoberCollege.com, right?
Yeah.
You guys should check that out. That's pretty cool. It's like a recovery home where you can get college credits while you're in the recovery home.
Yeah.
What more could you ask for?
Our friends.
A Ferrari.
Our friends at Sober College.
Thank you. In the myriad of topics that were given to us on Facebook, one of them, shout out to John the Hebrew, that's his name. That's his name on Facebook anyway. He said, the danger of war stories. It could be, how are war stories good? How are they bad? But, I myself have a story about a war story, but...
So if we do this topic, does that make us war correspondents?
Yes.
Wait, let me find my flak jacket.
Sweet. Now, Shelley, queen of the war stories.
I have one. I have one war story.
Well, should you tell it? Maybe you should tell it.
Is it a war story or just kind of a skirmish?
More of a skirmish.
Okay.
Were you like the Italians? Did you throw up your hands and surrender?
No. I'd get home in the afternoon and, I have my bottle. I'm home for the day. I'm not leaving anymore. The kids are home. And I want to start drinking. But the kids, kids are smart. They know something's going on. And, my binge lasted about a year and a half. And during this time, the kids started to get a little bit more clingy with me. Because kids aren't stupid. And I would have to figure out a way to get the booze in the glass. Because the kids knew, I had cranberry juice in the fridge, so...
You had a lot of bladder issues.
Yeah, so I was drinking a lot. They knew I liked cranberry juice. So
Shelley, can I have some of that cranberry juice?
No. So I'd pour my cranberry juice, and then I had to figure out a way to be able to get the booze into it without them seeing. So I had hidden my vodka in the sweater box in our bedroom. And so what I did was I told the kids that I had to go and change my underwear. because then that meant I had to be in the bedroom with the door closed and they couldn't be in there. And, you know, alcoholics tend to start to believe their own lies. And after a while, I actually started changing my underwear every time I had a drink.
Wow. So, no wonder you're doing so much laundry.
I had no clean underwear. I had to actually buy extra underwear because I was going through like five pairs a day.
350 packs of underwear.
I did. I was doing laundry all the time because I had no clean underwear because I was changing my underwear so much.
Two pair, you just keep changing back.
Well, I didn't think of that.
Because you were drunk.
Yeah, I was too drunk.
As an example from...
That's my war story.
As an example from John's thing...
That made me want to go out and drink.
Probably not the most dangerous war story I've ever had.
No,
now, myself, I used to tell a story about when I overdosed...
Great story.
...in a motel room. And the problem was... I used to be much more descriptive about it than I am now. Mm-hmm. And I told this story, and I went into kind of details on what I did and what happened and how it felt. And a guy came up to me. I was speaking to someone. A guy came up to me after the meeting and said, "Dude, you can't share it like that. You can't put that much detail in it." He goes, "Dude, I was vibrating in my seat." He goes, "It took me back to that moment." He goes, "I felt like I wanted to get loaded." And I really had to look at it. And you know, the way I used to describe it, I look back on it now and I'm like, oh my God, I probably killed people with that. Because they could have gone out and, you know, the description I gave was good enough that it really gave the idea of what it was like to slam.
If you didn't know how to slam, you knew how to slam by the time you were done giving the description?
No, not exactly. But if you had ever slammed, it would take you right back to that moment. And I really had to look at that, and I really, pretty much, I've stopped telling that story. I have a little bit of it that I tell, but nothing like it was in the past. Because you know what? The reality is, it's dangerous to tell a story like that to newcomers. And to me, I'm like, oh, it's just my past. Or this. You know what? It could literally have killed somebody. And I don't know if that's where John was going with this, but the danger of war stories, we've heard it many times. We've talked about it lately, like all the newcomers that want to one-upsmanship each other. And I wonder how many of those guys go, well, I didn't drink that much. Maybe I should go drink some more. Maybe I need a better story. What do you think about the whole war story thing, Mark?
Well, I don't think you telling a war story is going to matter much to the newcomers because they're not paying attention to what you're saying anyway.
Yeah, perfect.
But
old timers either.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing about war stories are when you're in a meeting and that's all that's going on.
That ain't a lot of recovery.
There's no recovery there. And when all newcomers hear is a bunch of people telling war stories, if they're paying attention, they're not hearing what they need to do to not go do those things.
Right.
You know, you go into a meeting for the daily reprieve from doing those things.
True.
And, you know, I like a good war story every now and then. But, you know, it's when a meeting goes off on a whole tangent of one after the next, 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 after the next.
We
after
heard.
I was going to see if Bruce was going to interrupt me.
I knew you. I knew you were waiting for that. We heard, and Shelley was there, and you were there. We heard war stories where these people were describing how much they missed smoking rock cocaine, and there was a girl and a guy, and they were going on and on to the point that
Mark and I had to
Shelley and
down.
Mark like shut them down because I mean these guys were, it wasn't even a war story per se, they were romancing
the stone.
And I mean you could see the people in the hospital unit that were sitting there were like
fidgeting,
twitching, you know, and I think that's where John was going with this topic. It's like, you know, things like that, you know, we go to a meeting, it's a hospital meeting, and they're all new. All those guys are new. And, you know, to romance it like that in front of a bunch of people that are barely got anything going for them, it's horrifying.
That's all they have are war stories.
Yeah.
Generally.
They just came off the battlefield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arrows
if
in their
still,
ass.
If they're actually off it. while they're there. I mean, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're there because they're not quite sure whether they want to come home from the war.
Yeah.
So what else do you think about that, Shelley?
No, I've lost my train of thought now.
Derailed.
I was responding to what Mark said.
What did I say?
No, what you just said about...
Oh.
Now, wait. I had something.
She just lost the thing that gave her the train of thought that she lost.
Oh, I don't generally share, like, details about stuff, like, from drinking and stuff like that, except for the desperation of it, sharing the negative things, because there weren't a lot of positive things to begin with, but the ones that were there, I don't need to dump that out into a meeting, because that'll just make it sound like it's fun. Oh, let's go get drunk, you know, but like I shared for 10 minutes today, and I think my entire drunk log consisted of, I do remember saying lather, rinse, repeat. I think I just said something like, I don't really have that much to tell. I got drunk, lather, rinse, repeat. And then I went on from the point where I got sober on and into how it is today, because I don't want to sit in the crap. That's the whole reason I got sober, was so I didn't have to sit in the crap anymore. I mean, it's important to say something so that the newcomer identifies with the fact that you're an alcoholic, they're an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever. But then after that, you move on.
Well, I was just going to ask the question to both of you guys. How important is the war story for identification of newcomers? And then what point do you cross that line where it becomes dangerous to newcomers? Because certainly when you share what it used to be like, what happened, what it's like now, when you're in the what it used to be like, it is war story. I mean, and that's where they get the identification, but there's got to be that line where it's like, don't go past that.
I think that, at least for me, when I'm sitting in a meeting and somebody shares, as I've heard somebody actually share, where they're describing how great the drink looked and how great it tasted,
yeah. Oh, there was,
I don't
there was,
need to hear
there
that.
There was water beads going down the side of the bottle.
Yeah, I don't need to hear that. Not because it jeopardizes me, but because I think it's pointless. It doesn't further my recovery. It doesn't give me anything to work with, you know?
How about you, Mark?
The thing about sharing what it was like, it's hard to say that there's a line there, because what it was like is what it was like.
Right.
And if you're sharing yourself honestly, you're sharing what it was like. And I think the difference is when somebody's sharing and they do 90% of their share on what it was like.
Or how good it was like, you know.
But it was good for, you know what though? If you tell me it wasn't good, you're lying.
Yeah, at least for part of the time.
I mean, it was good for a long time.
It was good till it stopped being good.
Exactly. Yeah, it was good for a long time.
Shelly's shaking her head.
I have a different story,
no.
Dude.
Yeah, but you were an Alateen. They screwed with you early.
Yeah,
you're
getting loaded. Got screwed up.
I was
early.
Screwed from the gate because I had a program stuck in my head, and then I'm trying to get drunk on a daily basis, and it just the two things can't coexist.
See, Mark and I come from and I come from the group of when cocaine was non-addicting, and it was like the party drug, and it was okay. And you know what? For a long time,
it was great.
It wasn't just okay; it was fabulous.
Great, because
it ended up
when you're 20 years old and you're male
and you have a lot of coke.
Yeah, what is the one thing as most 20-year-old males really want out of life?
Sex.
Women.
And when you're 20 years old and you got the bag, what do you get?
Sex.
What's the problem here? You know what the problem is? When you finally got really addicted and you didn't want anybody around anymore while you were using.
When you had the bag and then you're like, it's like Mark's story. Do these girls have to, it's strippers.
Yeah.
Do they have to stay?
Have to stay?
that's when you know you're, you know. Wow.
You know,
I've heard Mark tell that story and you could see guys in the audience like, dude, what the hell are you talking about? You sent the strippers home? But if you think about it.
And then you see guys sitting there going, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Usually, you know what? Usually it's the really new guys that go, you sent strippers home? Mm-hmm. And then it's the guys that have been around for a while that are like, yeah, I remember when it got like that.
I was talking after the GSO board meeting today with somebody, and we were talking about how much the program's changed over the years. And when we showed up around here, we were done. When people show up around here now, most of them, it's because their parents are done with them.
Yeah, it's kind of like the war stories in a way have changed, because I see new people that they come in and it's like they're young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, comparatively speaking, mm-hmm. they don't have much of a war story. Yeah. Now, maybe they have enough war story to be there or maybe they don't, but it's like not brutal like the way I hear like old timers. That
I went out and I got drunk and I got high and like I got to fight and threw a chair at somebody.
And
I had a guy one time come in and he was telling a story about him and his mule.
His what?
His mule. The guy who
do
carted,
we want to hear this?
The guy who carted his cocaine back for him.
Okay, I'm thinking
donkey.
Yes. They are,
I'm thinking this is an inventory. They are in, I'm not sure I want to
they
hear.
They are in the back room of the house and they are busted up a kilo of cocaine. He turns around and takes this look all of a sudden. He says, I actually got a crick in my neck and I turned my head. He goes, the guy who was with me immediately thought I must have heard something. So he starts looking out the window. He goes, now I think he heard something, so I start looking out the window.
Yes.
He goes, now we both go out the back door, guns in hand, circle around the house from opposite sides. He goes, we come around the corner and I shot the guy right in the leg.
Wow.
You know, that's a guy, that's a war story.
Yeah. And you know what? That's the kind of war story that's not going to make someone want to get loaded.
Oh.
Because I think there's different, like, you know, it's like the different kinds of war stories. When you're telling a war story where something really jacked up happens to you, that's not the kind of thing that really makes you want to go get loaded.
Yeah.
Chili's giving me the across the throat movement. We really have actually.
We have all the time in the world. We're a podcast. Nobody's going to cut us off.
Do another 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Right now. Starting with Shelly. What are your final words on the war story? Keep it to 35 minutes. 3 to 5. 35.
35 minutes? Okay. I used to say. A couple of years ago, I would say that I kind of liked hearing the war stories sometimes in meetings, especially from speakers, because I could live vicariously through it because I never got to do any of that crap. And, you know, I was locked in a bedroom. I don't have any war stories.
That's a war story in and of itself.
Yeah. My war was pretty much internal.
Many people's.
But now I'm kind of like when somebody starts on a drunkalog and I'm sitting in a meeting, I'm looking at the clock. I'm thinking, this is not helping me. This is probably not helping anybody. It might actually be hurting somebody. Got a frog in my throat.
Ribbit.
I think that it by and large is detrimental and kind of pointless. I mean, we all know how we got here. A little bit of a story is good for identification purposes, but I don't really need to hear your entire rap sheet.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Mark.
Yes.
Final words.
A lot of people who go out there looking for a better war story usually end up being a casualty.
People that go out to find a better war story find one.
I knew it.
What?
He just sits there thinking of something.
My final words on it would be, you know what?
What?
Many times I enjoy a good war story, but like I like a good war story. Like there's some people that craft their war story in a way that people identify with it, and they talk about how detrimental it is and everything, and it's like you can see people get the realization of it. It's almost like in the reading of Cocaine Anonymous, who is an addict?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets it. It doesn't talk about how great it is at all. But everyone identifies with it, and everyone goes along with it and goes, oh, my God, I'm totally like that. And then it wraps it up all in the end about how it's this horrible thing. And I love the guys that speak where there's there's like fun in the war story, and you can get people identifying that just ended up with how brutal everything ended up being. Because it's kind of like it whips some people into it, and once it hooks them and gets them in and they're really into it, then it starts talking about how trash they got. And I don't mind that so much. But I'll tell you what, I won't be sharing my war story the way I used to. Well, I haven't in a while. Shelley, who are our friends online?
That would be in therooms.com.
.com.
I wasn't sure you were going to chime in there.
.com.
They run an online recovery community where you can go and put up your profile, meet some people in the A of your choice, go to online chats and meetings. You can go to Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to our show on the Embedded Player, and it's all free. And if you want to get to intherooms.com, you can go to recovery101.net and click on the banner, and we'll get two hits for the price of one.
Hey, Shelley, if I had needed a meeting, what should I have done?
Well, you shouldn't have been listening to this show.
Yeah, you should have.
Mark, what should I have done?
You should have turned – you did it. You listened to the show.
Awesome.
You should be going to a meeting is what you should be doing.
Yeah, now go to a meeting. You listen to the show. Now you got really good recovery. Now you go to a meeting and hear some good war stories.
No, you listen to this show.
And hear some war stories.
No, you listen to this show. Now you really need a meeting.
That's right.
Mark, who are our friends back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Bruce has the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go up onto our site also and click on the banner. That will take you to 12-Step Gazette.
Yes, it will.
You can click on View All Issues. You can click on the issue that you want to read. And you can read it online. Or you can get it emailed to you. Or for the time being, you can get it sent to you via the United States Postal Service.
While they're still around.
While they're still around. And that would be great because if you order like the 2-month issue at the start of the first month, you'll get it by the end of the second month.
Awesome.
So it'd be just perfect. Anyway, great publication. There's some terrific article stories, jokes, puzzles. I mean, there's just stuff to do there. And go up and enjoy it. And if you're interested in having a franchise, you can contact Bruce, and he will give you all the information you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Cool.
Make some money.
By the way, you guys might want, if you're on the recovery101.net site and you live in Florida or you're going to Florida in November, you might want to check out the 12-Step Music Fest. I don't have the – jeez, that's the second time I dropped my
cigar.
Been
smoking long?
I don't want to step on it. I don't know the dates, but you can get it by clicking on the 12-Step Music Fest banner. Or you can just go to 12stepmusicfest.com. And it's in the Florida Keys, and they've got a bunch of recovery festivals. It's like a 3-day festival. You guys should check that out. We've got email addresses. Don't forget Recovery Idol. We could use some more entries. It's got to have a jingle that goes 30 to 60 seconds, says Recovery 101 in it. You can send it to any one of our email addresses, which would be recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to join our advertising staff, recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. And we've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn serious.
Yeah, not like Shelly. She doesn't either. But Shelly.
What?
Who's the lead out music by?
We have a request for Kill Devil Rum Club.
Let me guess who requested that.
Sarah!
Gallery Sarah?
Yes.
Shout out to Sarah. You know why I can do that now? Because knowing that it's going to be in here, she will listen to the entire show.
Shout. Shout.
Let it all out.
These are the things we can do without?
Come on.
I'm talking to you.
Come on. End the show. Come on.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.